There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal.
Welcome to No Mere Mortals Cover to Cover Series. The Cover to Cover Series is a chronological journey through the moments in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, centered on the main character of Jesus Christ. In 2020, the Lord directed the start of the Cover to Cover Series that originally began as weekly installments for Sunday morning youth teachings at a local church. In 2023, the Cover to Cover Series will move to being a podcast series, and Lord willing, will continue to be weekly installments.
To Genesis chapter 24, verse 49. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 49, it starts off with a question. And Eliezer the servant says, "So tell me, will you or won't you show unfailing love and faithfulness to my master? Please tell me yes or no, and then I will know what to do next." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time of worship that we just got to experience. And Father, in that, knowing that you are here, God, whether we're joined together live through this technology or someone's watching later, that right here in this moment, to those who are hearing the sound of my voice, you're there. And so, God, we just pray that as we come before you with our hearts and minds opened, that we would receive your word by your spirit. God, that you would do a work in us to make us more like you. In your son's name, amen. And so, guys, as we go into this time this morning, really just wanting to give kind of an overview of what we've been looking at. And with that overview, we started off last week seeing that Sarah dies, that Abraham, his wife, she passes away, and Abraham buys a plot of land. Even though he's extremely wealthy, he continues sojourning, looking for that city whose builder and maker is the Lord. And so the only property that Abraham ever buys out of his wealth is a place to bury his wife, Sarah. And that after coming to just an old age in his life, he sends Eliezer, his servant, whose name means God is my help. God is help, God of help. And so he sends the helper to go get a bride for his son. And we have kind of weird hand under the thigh thing happening. And really it's a personal promise. It's a personal moment between Abraham and Eliezer. And it's a moment that says, this is something that I'm trusting you with. And then Eliezer asks a question. He says, well, you're asking me to go get a bride, but what if she doesn't want to come? What if she's someone who doesn't want to come? And Abraham says, you know, you take a giant club, you smack her the head and drag her back. That's not at all what he says. And in fact, he shows that the woman has this choice in the matter. And then he says that God's going to go before you. And God's going to do the work, but if the woman should choose not to, you're released from your responsibility. And we see in this moment that God values a woman's opinion and the ability to choose. In fact, that was in Genesis chapter 24, verse 7, where Abraham said, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife, my son, from there. And just that confidence that Abraham is giving Eliezer to say, look, I've prayed about this. God's going to go before you. God's going to be the one who does the work. You just be responsible to trust the Lord and do as you're being called to do. Well, Eliezer goes in faith, and he prays that God will direct him to the right person. And through that prayer, God reveals how he will show Eliezer through that prayerful process of aligning the human heart to God's will. And God lays out this sign. And the sign says that the girl that he will take back is a woman who will be kind to you. She'll be a hard worker. She'll give you water, and then she'll water all your 10 camels. And again, when we say 10 camels, as we understand that these are camels who drink about 5 to 10 gallons at a time. And so with 10 of them, we're looking at 50 to 100 gallons of water being pulled from a well. This would have been a hard work for over an hour. This person would have done this sacrificial serving. And what we saw is that before the prayer, which again was not out loud, but in Eliezer's heart, and so that just lets us know, right, this wasn't a moment where the lady didn't like overhear the prayer and then decide, well, because he said that, I might want to be a part of this. And so she plays a part, not at all. But before this prayer in Eliezer's heart is even finished, Rebecca shows up. And again, her name means to be lassoed by beauty. And again, this wasn't even something that this type of physical characteristic wasn't even something that Eliezer was praying for. And really, we when we speak of attractiveness, it's her character. That was just this beautiful part of her, is that her willingness to be kind, to show kindness, and then to serve this man and his camels. That servant's heart, which is so beautiful, it just pulls you in. And Rebecca shows up, and in fact, it's from Abraham's family. And as she serves Eliezer and his camels, the two of them go back to Rebecca's house and there meet the family, and a family that's being led by Rebecca's brother Laban. And that's likely because, you know, we don't know, but it's likely that Rebecca's dad has passed away by this time, and Laban is the head of the house. And Eliezer begins to tell everything from the hand promise under the thigh to the very moment that they left to meet the family. Eliezer tells them everything that we've just covered last week and up until this moment. And so with that, we come to Genesis 24, verse 49. And Eliezer now says, after telling them everything, God going beforehand, the promise, the plan, meeting Rebecca in the way that we did, he says, so tell me, Eliezer, to the family in Laban, will you or won't you show unfailing love and faithfulness to my master? Please tell me yes or no, and then I'll know what to do next. So he's saying, so you've heard what God has sent me here to do, and I'm here by God's direction. What is your choice? Will you or won't you? Will you respond in kind? And so right here, from even the beginning of this chapter, but particularly in this moment, we see the sovereign work of God being displayed and the necessary response of the free will of man. Verse 50, it says, then Laban and Bethuel replied, the Lord has obviously brought you here, so there is nothing we can say. Here is Rebecca, take her and go. Yes, let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. When Abraham's servant heard this answer, he bowed down to the ground and worshiped the Lord. Then he brought out silver and gold jewelry and clothing and presented them to Rebecca. He also gave expensive presents to her brother and mother. Then they ate their meal, and the servant and the men with him stayed there overnight. But early the next morning, Abraham's servant said, send me back to my master. So he's presented to the family, will you release Rebecca? And they say, yes, we're going to release Rebecca. And so he gives gifts of just thanks and just, you know, of good relationship. And so he comes to them, and the next morning says, thank you, guys. So now, thank you for your hospitality. It's time that we be on our way. Verse 55 says, but we want Rebecca to stay with us at least 10 days. Her brother and mother said, then she can go. But he said, don't delay me. The Lord has made my mission successful. Now send me back so I can return to my master. Well, they said, we'll call on Rebecca and ask what she thinks. So they called Rebecca and they asked this question. Are you willing to go with this man? Are you willing to go? Rebecca, again, being part of serving Eliezer and the camels and just the interaction there. And as she went back with him and heard Eliezer describe all that God had been doing and the work that God had done beforehand to send this man, to know that she was part of someone that was chosen by God. And yet in this moment, she's asked a question. With all that knowledge presented, as the helper makes knowledge the working of God, the question is asked, are you willing? Now, on a practical side, we got to think of this. I mean, there's no Facebook. He didn't come with some photo. I don't know. Maybe they had people who painted and he had a scroll. But for the most part, it would simply go, she's having to take the word of the helper. She's having to take the evidence of the work of the helper, and really just the seriousness and the commitment to his master to bring to the son a bride that the father has sent for. And so she's asked this question. You've heard all that has been said, the work of God going before, the call has been presented, but Rebecca, are you willing? And she replied, yes, I will go. So they said goodbye to Rebecca and sent her away with Abraham's servant and his men. The woman who had been Rebecca's childhood nurse went along with her. They gave her this blessing as she parted. Our sister, may you become the mother of many millions. May your descendants be strong and conquer the cities of their enemies. Then Rebecca and her servant girls mounted the camels and followed the man. So Abraham's servant took Rebecca and went on his way. Meanwhile, Isaac, whose home was in the Negev, had returned from Beer-lahai-roi. And one evening, as he was walking and meditating in the fields. Now, this is an interesting moment here, because this is a moment where this is the first time we're seeing Isaac in Scripture since we last saw him at the altar on top of that mount. On top of that mount that would be Golgotha. On top of that mount that would be Calvary. The last time we saw Isaac was where his name wasn't even mentioned as Abraham went back. And we see this moment that would have been solemn for Isaac, as he would have sat there staring at this lamb burning, this ram that God had provided upon an altar upon which he was about to be killed. And seeing as the Lord had provided himself the lamb, taking in that substitution replacement, as that lamb died the death that was meant for him. And in that moment, he sat there and would have taken all that meant. And the very next time we see Isaac, is we see Isaac walking and talking with God, walking about and just spending time meditating with God. And ladies, I just want to throw that out there for you. I want to throw it out that you find a man who is so in love with God, who is so surrounded by the love of God, that you would have to get through Christ just to get to know this guy. Find a man who walks and meditates on God's word. And so it says that when he looked up, Isaac looked up, he saw the camels coming. When Rebecca looked up and saw Isaac, she quickly dismounted her camel. Who is this man walking through the fields to meet us? She asked the servant. Now again, there's many times that people might question this thing at love at first sight. But now remember, let's flip this the other way, is that on one end, we saw the servant going to Laban and Rebecca's land. And for us, it was just a breath of a verse. But what we saw even last week is this would have been a multiple day excursion, that this would have been a long travel for them. And so as they're coming into this land, it's been many days. Rebecca, even a little tired. Maybe she hasn't had the full time to freshen up. Maybe they stopped a little bit, but here she is. She's riding this camel. She's tired of being on this camel. But you hear this language. She sees Isaac from afar off. This rejuvenation as she sees. And so we almost have this love at first sight as she gets up, maybe with excited anticipation, seeing, excuse me, sir, who is that? See, I was told about this plan that God had for my life, and I see someone far off, and there's this excited expectation. Who is that one? Who is that man? And he, Eliezer, the servant, replied, it is my master. So Rebecca covered her face with her veil. Then the servant told Isaac everything he had done. And so Eliezer goes, and now we've had the retelling of this moment, but again, it's just such a beautiful moment of seeing where again, through prayer, man's heart aligning with God and getting to see the forework of God, knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for Eliezer, for Rebecca, for Isaac, motivated by a father's love to bring the bride together with the groom. And looking at Rebecca, face covered, hearing all about God's plan to bring her to him. It says, Isaac brought Rebecca into his house, into his mother's, Sarah's tent, and she became his wife. He loved her deeply. And she was special, a special comfort to him after his mother's, the death of his mother. Isaac loved Rebecca. This is a man who spent time in understanding that God has this amazing plan, that God had a plan for Isaac, a plan to bring about this wounded victor. As Isaac sat there and understanding the substitutional atonement that God took care of, the replacement, the substitution of an innocent blood for his life. And that transformed him into a man who not only knew that, but he walked with God. He meditated on who God is and enjoyed spending time in his word. And that man sees this woman brought to him by God's hand. And Isaac loved Rebecca. We're told in Ephesians that we, those who have placed our faith in Christ, we are the bride of Christ. And in Ephesians, we're told about how the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And so you see here it being described that Isaac loved Rebecca deeply, and that the husband and wife union and relationship, that is to give us a taste, a glimpse, an illustration of the immense deep love that Jesus has for you, his bride, the church. And we see throughout all this amazing moment where the father sends the helper to get a bride for the son. And when again, we see Isaac again, when his bride is being brought to him. So we saw Jesus being represented on the mount, that moment of sacrifice. And so for many of us, that is our image of our God and Savior for that moment he was on the cross, and not to know when we would see him again. But there's this sweet union between the son and the bride. We saw Isaac again in scripture when his bride was being brought to him. And so there's this excited hope that we again will see Jesus when we, his bride, are brought to him in that great triumphal moment known as the rapture. And for those who depart and just move from this world into his kingdom, that beautiful moment knowing that this union we see, this love at first sight moment between the bride and the son. For us, we will get to join in and experience just the full richness of this when we too will look upon Jesus face to face. Now, from the beginning of this chapter, we have seen the sovereign work of God and his call for us to choose and trust in him. This moment of God's predestined work, and yet woven throughout all that, the free will of man. Are you willing? Will you choose? What do you choose? If one is true, how can the other be? So many get caught up in this. Well, what exactly does the Bible say on this regard of predestination and free will? Are they parallel? Never the twain shall meet? Or are they, in fact, not in any way contradictory, but completely solved in the person of Jesus Christ? As we see here, the union of the bride and the son, the predestined work of the father who sends out the helper, asking the bride, are you willing? What will you choose? So when we look at the concept of predestination, it is completely scriptural. For those who want to dismiss that, no, just as we saw here, Abraham told Eliezer, no, God's going to go before you. He's going to send this angel. The work will be done. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, we see even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. Well, then do we have free will choice in this matter? Well, we would look at scriptures like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, wait, how can God's word say that we were chosen and loved before, and yet we have the ability to be a willing recipient, that we have a choice in this matter? The Bible is saying both are true. And so to this, I want to say to you is that so many times we think in scripture it has to be one or the other. We think these moments are contradictory. But yet it is not predestination versus free will. But in fact, it is Jesus, both predestined and free will, that they are both together. And this idea of two seemingly human inconceivable truths being solved in the person of Jesus Christ is consistent in scripture. We look to Jesus himself, Jesus who was both God and man, that we see that Jesus is 100% man in this world, that he walked this world, and yet he was 100% God. How can those both be true? My mind can't completely conceive it, but the Bible says both are true. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am the name that God told Moses back in the wilderness, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Jesus, at his just false, basically, trial before he would go to the cross, quoting from Daniel, saying that he is that Son of Man who's coming on the clouds, invoking that language of that Messiah, of that Ancient of Days who rules over all. So here it would seem, well, how can these both be true? We look at the scriptural truth of the Trinity, of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not three gods, but one God in three. We can struggle with that. And I can give you all sorts of analogies of how water can take on the form of a liquid, solid, and gas. I can show you how an egg has three components to it, but it's one. We could look at the language of the compound one, in the beginning, God, Elohim, that plural. We could look through all of that, but can our minds really make sense of all of that? But we accept it to be true because God's word is truth, proven through archaeology, history, science, mathematics, and also by our experience through our relationship with God through his word, by his word, the word that was made flesh and tabernacled amongst us. See, these seemingly inconceivable compatible ideas. So many would want to pull them apart. And so I would say the same error that is made at thinking that Jesus can't be God that so many make, not to pick on anyone, but I think of Jehovah's Witness who want to deny the deity of Christ. And the same error to think that Jesus can't be, because how could he be the Son and yet still the Son of God and yet be God himself, that they want to lower that? Or how is it any way we think of the false teachings that Jesus didn't really take on human form, and yet again, also that to be rejected is not at all what scripture teaches. But that same error that people fall into about the personage and person and deity of Jesus Christ, that is the same error as some think that free will and predestination are incompatible. The truth is both of those types of thoughts, they disregard the totality and the completed word of God. And ultimately, they end up disregarding God's character. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 6 says, God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth, of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but as long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 18, we're told, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even through one man, Jesus Christ's righteous act, the free gift, that was spoken of John 3:16, that free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So again, as we look at chapter 24, we look at it with this lens of understanding. As the Father sent out the Helper to receive the bride for the Son, we see all of that God being an illustrative work in the same way he illustrated Isaac on the mount for that sacrifice, that atoning sacrifice. In the same chapter, the first word of love was being used, the illustration of Isaac being on that hill of Calvary to be the substitutional replacement for taking on death, the place where God provided himself the lamb. We see here just a few chapters later in 24, this illustration from eternity past, God planned and knew he would die for your sin. God the Father has sent his Holy Spirit, the Helper, to bring back a bride, the church, those who trust him. The question that was asked to Rebecca is being asked of you today. Are you willing? Truth is, are you ready to find the love of your life? Because he's ready to pour out his deep love for you, proven by the cross of Calvary as he paid the price to account your moral bankruptcy with his righteousness. Are you willing? Are you willing to go with the Helper? Are you willing to respond to the Holy Spirit's call and invitation? The choice is yours. God has done all the work and planned beforehand that work to draw you to him. But he will not club you over the head and drag you back. He will present himself fully. He will reveal all that he has done to make his love for you known. But the question will be asked, what will you choose? Are you willing to go? For those who have not made that choice today, I'm here to tell you that again, this free gift that has been offered to all men is eternity with Christ, to be co-heirs with Christ, part of this family that he said he has adopted us into. And it is a free gift that cannot be earned or deserved. And that's because we all, like sinners, we all are sinners. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all have this problem called sin, and we cannot save ourselves. And God loves you and cares for you and does not want to pour out his wrath upon you. But he is also a just God who must and will punish sin. You know, this reminds me of a story of a man named Garcia. Now, Garcia, he was a leader of a rebel company in a communist country. And now I think many today maybe struggle with some of these ideologies. But the truth is, this ideology that calls thought other than its own as dangerous and violent and seeks to snuff out any who would oppose and stand up to it. Garcia was a rebel against that ideology. And he led a group of people nomadically. They were on the move. They had to run from this government and this ideology that sought to destroy them. And one day, Garcia's lieutenant comes to him as they're on the move, and he says to him, you know, we've got a problem here. We're running out of food quicker than we should be. And Garcia says, okay, what does that mean? And that means we have someone who's stealing the food. Well, Garcia loved his people, and he didn't want someone to die, and he didn't want them to get slowed down and eventually overtaken by this government because someone was choosing to steal. So Garcia put out a decree that anyone caught stealing would be publicly whipped to be made a mark for anyone, an expression of justice that it's not okay to steal because that stealing, to take from another, it's harming someone. It's harming the whole community. Well, some time goes by and Garcia's lieutenant comes to him and says, hey, I have some good news and I've got some bad news. Okay, Garcia says, give me the good news first. Well, the good news is we caught the thief. Because he says, great, you know the law that I've given. Put them in the middle of camp, string them up, and whip them so that nobody makes this choice again. Garcia Sanchez says, well, that's where the bad news comes in. See, the person stealing the food was your mom. And Garcia is met with these seemingly two incompatible issues. The love he has for his mother, knowing that if she is whipped, she could die, and that more that to whip her would lead him to just seem like a tyrant who has no love or compassion for his, even his own family. Yet on the other side, justice needs to be carried out. And if he doesn't serve justice, he's actually a corrupt leader who's willing to overlook the punishment that's due and break his own law because it was his family that was involved. And so he seemingly is stuck. Is he going to be the loving son, but unjust? Or will he be the just ruler without being able to show compassion? Well, Garcia had only one decision to make. He made the choice to be the just ruler. And he told his lieutenant to take his mom to the middle of the camp and tie her to the whipping post. And as the crowd surrounds and looks upon this, as the lieutenant pulls back on the whip, Garcia cries out, stop. He walks over to his mother and he surrounds her in one of those big bear hugs that only a son could give his mom and kisses her on the cheek. He tells her, I love you, mom. And while holding on to his mom, back to his lieutenant, he looks back over his shoulder and he says at that moment, now whip. And as the lieutenant whips out, carrying out the punishment, justice was served, but Garcia took all of the punishment on his own back. And in that moment, the seemingly incompatible of love and justice was solved by this leader. And in the same way that Garcia was able to make compatible through truth and grace the love he had for his mother, everyone saw him for the leader that he was. That is the same way that God has solved our incompatibility with his nature, with his love for us and his justice to take care of sin, that on the cross of Calvary, as Isaac would represent, that God poured out his wrath of sin on his son, bearing the full brunt and weight and punishment of your sin. And in that same way, solving that incompatibility of us to him. We see here through this chapter, through Jesus Christ, solving the incompatibility, seemingly incompatibility of God's predestined work with the question presented to each one of you today. What will you choose? He has carried out his plan all the way back in Genesis 3 to make himself known to you, to pour out his deep love for you. And with outstretched hands, he simply asks, what will you choose? Will you go with this man? That is the choice left to you. That is the choice that was given to Rebecca. She said yes and knew the greatest love she ever knew. With that, to those who are hurting and seeking, who are reaching out for love, if you do not know the love of Jesus Christ personally in your life, you can know that today. It is simply to say yes. It says in Revelation that he stands at the door and knocks, and whoever opens that door, he will come in, and he will be with them, and he will eat with them. To any who feel alone and abandoned, he stands at the door and knocks. Will you answer? He loves you. He has proved that by the cross, and he has the power to defeat sin in our life, as he proved by the empty tomb. For those who have made that choice to let God into your life, but maybe you're trying to play this game of kind of living in two worlds. Maybe you're trying to just kind of date God. You know, you guys hang out on Sundays, or you know, you talk to him every now and again. You're missing out on the full, deep love that he has for you. And even for you today, the question would be, are you willing to fully commit to this relationship? Because he has. And he is faithful and a patient God. The choice is yours. Are you willing? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I just pray for as your spirit calls out to us. Lord, would you, by your spirit, through your word, make yourself known to us. We thank you for this time this morning to spend time with you and to hear your love for us and all that you have done to make us a part of your family. God, that you loved us so much that you laid down your glory, stepped down from your heavenly dimension to tabernacle with us, to take the stripes upon your back that were due us, to go onto the mountain and to give your life for our sin. Lord, I pray that as you have over and over proven your love to us, would we respond in kind? To those who have never known the full depth of the relationship with you, God, would they choose? To those who have never known what it is to walk with you, would they hear about all that you've done and would say, I'm willing to go? And God, would you surround them with your love, strengthen them and encourage them? Father, we thank you for everything that you've done in our life and everything you have planned. In your son's name, amen.
The Cover to Cover series is part of No Mere Mortal. The No Mere Mortal ethos derives from the biblically grounded and inspired work of C.S. Lewis in The Weight of Glory. You can find more No Mere Mortal content, including the Cover to Cover series, on our website at nomeremortal.org. Follow us on Twitter, Truth, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and most major podcasting services. Subscribe, follow, like, comment, leave a review, and share. The music you've heard has been provided by Sicko, that's C-I-K-K-0, and you can find him at YouTube at Sicko's Beat Suck 797. My name is Bryce, and you are No Mere Mortal.